The title of our message on this special Advent day is The Obedience of Joseph. Luke chapter 1 tells us, "Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin named Mary who was engaged to a man whose name was Joseph." And Matthew chapter 1 adds this: "Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But an angel of the Lord came to him in a dream and said, 'Joseph, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a boy, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins.' And when Joseph awoke, he did as he was commanded, and he took Mary home and his wife, and he had no union with her until after she gave birth, and he gave the child the name Jesus." I encourage you to look at the handout that you got when you came in. Notice there your sermon outline. You follow along in the message as we consider our theme, The Obedience of Joseph. Have you ever heard the expression, "God gave you two ears and one mouth for a reason"? Oh, what's that reason? What does that saying mean? Basically, it means all of us would be better off if we listened carefully to what was being told us before we spoke, before we took action. Two ears, one mouth also reminds us to listen twice as much as we speak. Now, come to think of it, my mother used to say that a lot to me when I was a boy. Imagine that. And my wife, Beverly, has probably said it to me, but I'm not sure because I was so busy talking and I wasn't listening to what she was saying. In our sermon text from Matthew 1, we have the unique account of the birth of Jesus from the perspective of a man who never utters a word, but he listens to what he's being told. And then he follows through with humble obedience. Of course, we're talking about Joseph, the earthly father of Jesus. You know, we don't know a lot about Joseph. There's hardly anything in Scripture spoken about Joseph. Just two brief mentions in the birth accounts of Jesus I just read to you. Also, a little bit about when Jesus is brought to the temple for circumcision and his naming ceremony to Simeon and Anna in the temple. And later when Jesus is 12 years old and he gets lost from his parents, do you remember? And they find him in the temple teaching the teachers. That's all we hear about Joseph. In these accounts, one thing is consistent. Joseph never speaks. None of Joseph's words. You can look all through the pages of Scripture. None of Joseph's words are recorded in the pages of the Bible. Mary sings, the angels glorify God, the shepherds praise God, the wise men worship and bring their gifts, but Joseph is silent. So what can we make of this important figure in the life of Jesus, of which so little is said, and who himself says so very little? Today we're going to learn, and here's the purpose of our sermon. We'll learn that Joseph and his faithful, quiet obedience to Jesus can teach us a lot. Matthew 1:19 tells us, and I quote, "Joseph was a righteous man." What does that mean? He was fair. He was honest. He was upright. He had an abiding trust in God. It's no accident that God, the Heavenly Father, chose this man, Joseph, to be the earthly father and custodian of his son, Jesus. We also know that Joseph, what did he do for a living? Do you remember? He was a Herbesha, he was a carpenter. He worked alongside his father as a carpenter. Joseph likely made a modest living, making furniture and farm tools. And as a pious Jewish man, Joseph wouldn't even thought about being married till he was at least 25 years old and making his own living. But he would still go to his parents to get their blessing. Joseph probably one day saw that sweet little village girl named Mary. And his heart was struck. And he probably went to her father to ask if Mary's papa could arrange with his papa plans for a wedding. After their engagement was announced, but before the wedding ceremony, Joseph and Mary in that culture were considered, for all intents and purposes, married. Their engagement could only be broken through a formal process of divorce. And if one or the other died after the engagement, but before the wedding, they still had all the legal rights of a widow or a widower. That's how seriously they took engagement then. Now, this engagement, though, could be broken, according to the law of the land, if either one was sexually unfaithful during the time of engagement. This was a serious matter. And according to Jewish law, the offending person could be stoned to death for infidelity when they were engaged before they got married. That's why Matthew's account tells us, and I quote, Joseph did not want to expose her to public disgrace. So he had in mind, Matthew tells us, to divorce her quietly. Joseph's heart must have been broken when he learned that Mary was pregnant and he knew that he was not the father. Mary would be publicly disgraced and possibly stoned to death. That's what the law demanded. But Joseph loved Mary and decided to have compassion on her, to be merciful to her, and to find a way to quietly, without any fanfare, to end their engagement. Now let me ask you, isn't it fitting that this merciful carpenter would be chosen to be the earthly father of our merciful Savior, Jesus? Just as merciful Joseph did not give Mary the bitter justice she appeared to deserve, so our Lord, are you listening? So our Lord does not give us the justice we certainly deserve because of our sin. Jesus, the Son of Joseph and Mary, the Son of God, took upon Himself all of our sins, all of our offenses, took them to that cross, shed His precious blood, died for you and for me. What do you think the manger is all about? The manger leads directly to the cross. I've told you this a few times. That's why in our household, in our big picture window, we have a large cross decorated with Christmas lights to proclaim to our neighbors the purpose of the cradle is the cross. Mercy, not justice, was at the very heart of the life and teachings of Jesus. Here we can see a clear case of like Father, like Son. Jesus is merciful to sinners, just as Joseph was merciful to Mary. And God is merciful to sinners like you and me. Now, as Joseph drifted off to sleep that night, he had a sad but a compassionate plan in mind. When I get up in the morning, I'm going to quietly sign the papers of divorce of our engagement. I'm not going to make a big deal of it. I'm not going to shame Mary publicly. I'm going to spare her dignity and her life. This was his plan. But when he went to sleep that night, an angel of the Lord, the scripture says, was sent to him in a dream, because God in his mercy had another plan, a wonderful plan. Joseph learned that Mary was pregnant by a special act of God. Mary had not been unfaithful. He could marry her. The child they would raise together would be their son and God's son. And the angel told Joseph he should give the little boy a new name, a name that would declare to all people the purpose he came. And the angel said, "You shall give him the name Jesus, which means in Hebrew, the Lord saves." "You shall give him the name Jesus," the angel said, "because he will save his people from their sins." You see, Joseph exercised this wonderful two ears and one mouth way of living. He listened. He said not a word. He trusted God and he obeyed. The life of Joseph reminds me of an old gospel song. It goes like this, at least the chorus. "Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey." This describes wonderfully the trusting obedience of Joseph. You see, Holy Scripture often connects, links together obedience with trusting faith. Obedience flows from faith. God is faithful to us. Our trust in Him grows stronger. This trust produces in our heart obedience. Listen to Romans 1, verse 5. Paul writes, "Through him and for his name's sake, we have received grace to call all people to the obedience that comes from faith." Listen carefully to this point of Scripture. It's the central point of our entire sermon. Obedience comes from faith. We trust in God. We then obey. Joseph trusted in God and he obeyed. But the same reality is seen in the life of Jesus, our Savior. On the night, you remember it, don't you? On the night before Jesus goes to the cross to suffer and die for the sins of the world, he's struggling. He's kneeling in that garden of Gethsemane, the scripture says, sweating like blood, drops of blood from his forehead. He's struggling because he knows the terrible pain that awaits him in just a few hours. He knows about the soon coming attack of the devil. He knows about the soon coming heavy weight of all the sins of every man and woman and boy and girl in the world that will be placed upon his shoulder upon the cross. Now, he's true God, but also he's true man. And he begs his Father in heaven in that garden, "Papa, have Father in heaven, can there be any other way?" Listen to his pleading prayer. "Father, everything is possible for you. Please take this cup of suffering from me. Yet, not what I will, but thy will be done." And what happened? Jesus rose from prayer and went to that cross, and he went there for you and for me. His trust in his heavenly Father led him to obedience, the obedience that brought our salvation. Today, we're talking about the obedience of Joseph. What a righteous man. We've also rejoiced at the obedience of Jesus. What a loving Savior. In both their lives, we see the reality. Trust leads to obedience. But now, what about us. A single section of Holy Scripture says it very well. Ephesians 2, verses 8 to 10. Give ear now to this. Paul writes, "For by grace you are saved through faith. It is the gift of God, not by your works, so no one can boast." Now that's verses 8 and 9. And we quote those verses a lot, and well, we should. We're saved by grace and not our good works. That's true. But you know what, folks? We often overlook the next verse, verse 10. Listen to this verse. "For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." Again, obedience flows from faith. God has saved us. He has given us the gift of faith. He has created us to obey Him. He already has plans for us, which include our obedience that flows from our faith in Him. "Trust and obey," said the hymn. Trust and obey. As we trust in God's will and His plans for us, we are then willing to lay aside what we think is best for what God knows is best. You see, Joseph probably had his life all planned out. Can you just imagine Joseph at age 25? "Well, I'm going to have a successful carpentry business. I'm going to enjoy a beloved wedding, a glorious wedding day with my beloved Mary. We're going to have a household of children." I haven't told Mary that, but we will. "We're going to enjoy a quiet life in small town Nazareth." I can see my life laid out before me, planned Joseph. But Joseph's plans weren't exactly God's plan. Joseph was planning a long-awaited wedding. God told him to quickly build a crib for an unexpected child. Joseph trusted God, and from his trust came obedience. And from Joseph's own carpentry shop probably came, built with Joseph's own hands, a new crib for his son, for God's son, for Jesus, our Savior. And it's, of course, the birth of this precious Son and mighty Savior that we will be celebrating 1 week from today. Jesus' birthday. Now, I end this sermon by asking you a question. What are you planning to give Jesus for His birthday present? It's His birthday, you know. What better birthday gift could we give to our newborn Savior than our obedience that flows from faith? I'm sure that Joseph would agree. In the name of Jesus, God's Son and Joseph's Son. Amen.